Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studio, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports, and you can tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight at 6:35 p.m. on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds take on Norfolk Tides, the AAA affiliate of the Baltimore Orioles. It's also a beautiful day outside, a great day for a Sounds game. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. And it is draft season, which means it is mock draft season as well. And Mel Kiper, the Santa Claus of the NFL draft, the president of the NFL draft, came out with his most recent mock draft for rounds 1 and 2. He has Bryce Young, rather, going first overall to Carolina, CJ Stroud going number 2 to Houston, and number 3, he has the Tennessee Titans trading up to go get Anthony Richardson. So the Titans trading up to number 3, taking Anthony Richardson. And Jared talked to a former general manager in the league who said trading up to 3 would be your first this year, your second this year, your first next year, and your third next year. So 4 pretty premier picks over the next 2 rounds. If you are Rand Carthon, D-Mace, is that a move that you make?
This particular guy, whoever it is, Anthony Richardson, CJ Stroud, Will Levis. I don't think they would do that for Will Levis, but got to throw him in there. Or Hendon Hooker, which I don't think they would go that far with him either because of the injury that he has. But if everyone in that room is there, if there's a consensus of this is our guy, then you do what is necessary to move up to that spot to get your guy, quarterback, whichever quarterback it is, because you believe, regardless of what we think or what Mel Kiper thinks or anybody else, if you believe that's your guy, then you do what is necessary for that organization to get him. Because to me, it's easier to find, and I'm going to stick with this, it's easier to find a wide receiver, running back, defensive back. It's a little easier, not to say it's easy to find them, but it's a little bit easier to find that guy or an interior lineman than it is a franchise legitimate quarterback who you believe can win you championships, because not many times are you going to win championships without that guy.
You can like 2 or 3 receivers in a draft. Very rarely do I think can you find 2 or 3 quarterbacks in a draft that you view as being the future of your franchise.
Well, you're absolutely right. Look at the LA Rams with what they did. It wasn't a draft. But even with Goff, they didn't have to give up anything to get him, I believe.
They
had to move up, yeah.
They traded with the Titans for the first overall pick.
So even with him, they had to do something to move up to get the number 1 pick in golf. Because why? They believed he was the guy. Well, he led them to a Super Bowl, but then they realized he can lead us, but we can't win with him. So what do? Give up all of this to go get Matthew Stafford. Why? Because everybody in the building, more importantly, the head coach, McVay, believes that Matthew Stafford is the guy that can win us a Super Bowl. Not necessarily get us there, because we've shown we could get there.
Right.
But that can win us a Super Bowl. And what happened? They won them a Super Bowl. So whatever you gave up to get them and all that stuff, the Rams faithful don't care because they got a Super Bowl out of it. Mm-hmm. You look at what the Green Bay Packers did. I mean, not Green Bay, but San Fran did. They felt that they had the pieces around the quarterback, but it was the quarterback that they felt couldn't win us the Super Bowl. We've gotten there with him, but he can't win it. So what did they do? They gave up a lot to move up. You heard Tim say it. They gave up a lot to move up to get Trey Lance. Now, the jury's still out on Trey Lance, but they did what was necessary because everybody in that building believed that Trey Lance is the guy that can not only get us to a Super Bowl, help get us, but he can win it for us. So if everybody in that room believes the guy that you're looking at can not only help you get there but can win it, then do it. Because everybody's on the same page now, you know? Nobody had to be convinced, oh, that this is the guy. Everybody looked at that guy and said, you know what? With the defense that we have, meaning Tennessee Titans, defense that we have, it's going to be one of the best in the National Football League. Derrick Henry is going to continue to be Derrick Henry. You know, he's still going to be that force to be reckoned with.
Right.
We did some things to address the offensive line. And if they believe that that quarterback is that one missing piece, then do it. Do whatever you need to do to bring him in the building, because it's harder to get him than to get a wide receiver or a running back or interior lineman. That's just, the NFL has told us that many, many years. It's harder to find that guy at quarterback than it is any other position.
100%. It's the most important position in sports for a reason.
Exactly.
Because it is so, especially I think also that we've seen in the NFL, we've seen a lot of franchises, we've seen a lot of organizations and teams ruin really quality quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
I would say right now in the NFL, there is a lack of really quality quarterbacks. You know, there's a lot of fine quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of like okay quarterbacks. There's not a lot of elite quarterbacks to go around. So I think that if you find that guy that you think can ultimately become the one that gets you past the Joe Burrows and the Patrick Mahomes and the Josh Allens, the Lamar Jacksons, potentially Aaron Rodgers, mm-hmm. if it does end up going to the Jets, if you're like, that is our guy, then you go get him. Now, in Mel Kiper's mock draft, he has the Titans taking Anthony Richardson with a 3rd overall pick. The Titans are also meeting with Will Levis today. I don't know what that means. I don't know if that means the Titans are genuinely interested in Will Levis. I don't know if that means that the Titans liked what they saw from Will Levis at his pro day, are interested in what he can offer, and just want to learn more about him, and just want to vet him a little bit more, want to pick and pry into him a little bit more. That absolutely could be the case. They could meet with Will Levis and say, you know what? Not the right pick for us. They could meet with Will Levis and say, God, we love him.
Mm-hmm.
They could trade up to number 3 to go get him. Now, knowing everything that I know about Will Levis, watching him at Kentucky this past year, reading what former coaches, scouts, GMs have said about Will Levis, where some have said he might be more of a 2nd-round pick, whereas Bill Polian said, no, he is a 1st-round pick. He's got some accuracy issues, but, you know, he is a 1st-round grade. Then maybe it is Will Levis. It doesn't have to be Anthony Richardson. Maybe it's a Bryce Young that falls to number 3. I doubt it. I highly doubt that. But you never really know what happens on draft day in the NFL. So Mel Kiper says Anthony Richardson. It could be a Will Levis. I'm not counting out the idea that it could be Will Levis, because the Titans could be meeting with him as we speak. And they could fall in love with him. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, if because Bill Polian, who's in the Hall of Famer, was a really good GM in this league. He looks at Will Levis and says he reminds you of Ben Roethlisberger. Okay, if he reminds him of Bill Roethlisberger, and if you have that same thought in your head, if you are, you know, a part of the Titans brass, if you think he's more Ben Roethlisberger than, I don't know, some other quarterback, Ben's won 2 Super Bowls. Ben's on his way to the Hall of Fame. You do what you need to do to get that guy. Again, it's what do you believe this guy is? Not what we're always going to, you know, we're just looking at it and hearing things and from what we see.
Yeah.
But you look at the guy, you look at these particular guys and you evaluate them different than how we may evaluate, because you are doing the deep dive. Like, we're just doing, you know, we're going maybe 5 meters. You're going 25, 30 meters, you know, deep to really find out if this is your guy. So after all of that, if you still believe that he's your guy, everybody in there believes he's your guy, take him. Do what you need to do to take him.
Understanding that.
Yeah.
That could be your job.
Yeah, it could be.
And I, everything that I've seen and heard from Rand Carthon, I think he's a great guy. I have no reason to dislike Rand Carthon. But if he does decide to make that trade, and if what the general manager that Jared talked to, if he is correct that it would take two firsts, a second this year, and a third next year to trade up and get Anthony Richardson, Will Levis, whatever quarterback or player you take at that position, and that player doesn't work out, as much as I like Rand Carthon, his tenure in Tennessee is going to be very short-lived.
Yeah, if it doesn't work out. Well, hell, if it doesn't work out with any of the first-round draft picks eventually, like John Robinson, is going to come to an end. I would rather it come to an end because I tried to go out and get what the team needed, meaning a quarterback. Right. I tried. We all were in, you know, on the same path, and we all were in agreement that this is the guy. I'm good with getting them, and if subsequently it doesn't work out 2-3 years down the line and it may cost me my job, then okay. But I did, or we did, what we thought was best for the organization. And it might not have been – the owner could have said, get him, but still end up firing you years later because you got him and it didn't work out. She can't fire herself.
Right.
She got to fire somebody eventually. So you can't be scared of being fired. You can't let that scare you off a guy all of y'all believe is the guy that can lead us and win us a Super Bowl. Now, if you think it by yourself and everybody else like, man, I don't know what you're thinking, but okay, you want to draft him and it end up not working, then okay, we're going it's your fault. We told you not to draft the guy and you drafted him. But if everybody is on the same page, then draft a guy.
That's a move I don't think you can make if not everybody's
exactly
on the same page. Owners in, Vrabel's in, Carthon's in, everyone whose opinion matters within that building.
They're in on it.
They have to be in.
Yeah.
It's all hands on deck. And you better hope it works out.
Yeah.
You better hope. Now, it's a lot of mock drafts and it's a whole lot of talk. And that is what this time of year is for. I always say where there's smoke, there's fire. There's at least something that's telling me the Titans are poking around about potentially trading up. We've heard from Daniel Jeremiah on the Move the Sticks podcast, don't sleep on the Titans. We heard from Charles Robinson, the Titans are looking around to potentially trade up to draft a quarterback. We just heard from Tim Hasselbeck earlier who said, don't look away from the Seahawks, who could be willing to deal number five. The Titans could be potentially in play for the number five overall pick. But Brady Quinn had something very interesting to say about the Titans potentially moving about a spot that I honestly didn't even think was for sale. And we will get into that coming up next. And, of course, your phone calls as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, and hey, join 1025 The Game for the second annual Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament benefiting Souls for Souls on June 7th at Hermitage Golf Course. Put your team together and come play with athletes, musicians, and a bunch of other local celebrities to support a great cause and have loads of fun doing it. Plus, you'll have the chance to win awesome prizes, so sign up to play, sponsor, or donate at thegamenashville.com/golf.
Brady, it's always interesting to get into the mind of a draft expert like Ryan and hear him discuss how these permutations make sense. It could convince you that anything is possible. What do you make of the idea of the Titans moving up to grab CJ?
Well, there's two sides to any trade, right? And so for the Tennessee Titans, it makes some sense. They've got Ryan Tannehill in the last year of his deal. And I'm sure their thought is, if we're going to draft a rookie quarterback, why not have him sit behind a veteran guy who's played some really good football for us that can help teach them how to play the pro game? So the Tennessee Titans standpoint, it makes some sense. You get Mike Vrabel to look at who's a former Ohio State Buckeye. So he's looking at his alma mater and he's seeing the most accurate quarterback in the draft, is CJ Stroud, sitting there and saying, I think we can win a lot of football games with this guy. And really, quarterback play, in particular in the playoffs, has been the Achilles heel for the Tennessee Titans. So it makes a lot of sense from that perspective. Where this doesn't make a whole lot of sense for me is with the Houston Texans. But we'll get to what the rest of this first-round mock draft looks like for the Texans and discuss this a little later.
There you go. That was Brady Quinn and Ryan Willis on their mock draft. The Titans potentially trading up to number two to take C.J. Stroud. Now, if the Titans could get into a realistic spot, like I think we all know, number three is for sale. I think that's fair to say. The Arizona Cardinals are not taking a quarterback. There are plenty of quarterback needy teams that are willing to trade up to number three. Arizona can collect extra picks. Arizona can trade back and pick another position of need because, gosh knows, Arizona needs it. We talked to Tim Hasselbeck about this because there's been a lot of talk, and I heard Jonathan Hutton talking with Michelle and Junie earlier about some of the talk about the number two overall pick, about the Houston Texans, that the Houston Texans aren't interested in C.J. Stroud or wouldn't draft C.J. Stroud because C.J. Stroud is represented by the same agent who represented Deshaun Watson, and there is some bad blood between that agent and the Houston Texans organization. They don't trust the agent, so they wouldn't draft C.J. Stroud for that reason. And I think that that is a big old load of baloney.
That would be a huge mistake.
If the Texans didn't draft C.J. Stroud, if C.J. Stroud is in their lap and they say, no, we have beef with his agent, so we're not going to draft him, that's a really great way to run your organization into the ground if you let your own personal vendetta against agents get you in the way of drafting quality talent in this year's draft. So I think you would agree with me, D-Mace. Yeah. That's a total load of hogwash.
Yeah, I don't think that's true. I just can't imagine that being true. Obviously, I wanted to ask Tim, had he heard those same rumblings? But I can't see a team allowing something like that to get out. Mm-hmm. We're not going to draft said player because of the agent that we've had a history with negotiating and maybe didn't like some of what he had to say or his tactics or whatnot or his player. We just didn't like him, so we're not going to deal with him anymore. No, there's only so many agencies in this business. And whether you run across the agent now with C.J. Stroud, you're going to have to run across him sometime because that's not the only client he has. Or he's not the only client that agency has.
Right.
So if you shun one, you're really shunning them all, the agents, because I'm sure there's more than one agent within that agency. So if you're shunning one guy, you're really shunning them all, guys and girls, because it's the agency.
And Athletes First is a massive
exactly.
agency.
So I don't think you want to go down that route of, oh, I'm not negotiating with this guy. I don't want to negotiate with this guy because of what happened last time with another guy, and we just don't like that agency. Mm-hmm. No, you got to take your feelings out of it. This is about the bottom line, and the bottom line is two things, winning and money, and winning brings the money. So if you're going to help us win, then so be it. We've seen a lot worse. Guys get drafted or guys get signed by teams that have done much worse. So you can't make me believe that the Houston Texans will pass on a C.J. Stroud because of that.
No, there is no way. And if they do that, they're not very smart. Yeah. Because Houston understands if they don't take, let's say Bryce Young goes number one to Carolina, C.J. Stroud goes to two. If the Texans don't take C.J. Stroud, they probably have to play him.
Yeah.
With Indianapolis mm-hmm. taking at four and potentially the Titans trading up to number three. They don't take C.J. Stroud. Somebody else will. And mm-hmm. I don't think the Texans are going to want to be on the receiving end or the defending end mm-hmm. of C.J. Stroud based off of everything that I've heard about C.J. Stroud, based off of everything that I've seen from C.J. Stroud, that if C.J. Stroud comes into your organization, he likely can be a day one mm-hmm. starter. He can start for your team right away. But also to that point, if C.J. Stroud is in the lap of the Titans, I understand the Ohio State connection between Mike Vrabel and C.J. Mm-hmm. Stroud. That be damned. If he's available, you take him.
Oh, yeah.
You take C.J. Stroud. Are you crazy?
Yeah, then you do. You do what you need to do try to get up and get a guy of his caliber.
Because, 100%.
Because I'm sure everybody in the building, if you're talking C.J. Stroud, they're like, hey, listen. That's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
I think you can probably draft C.J. Stroud without asking – you know, Amy, hey, what do you think? Should we draft him? Nah, that's something that you don't need to come ask me about. If he falls and we can go up and get him, or we're right there, or if he falls at 11, mm-hmm. you think I'm going to bypass him? No, you better draft him with the quicks. You better put that card in very quickly and draft him. You don't have to ask me. Draft him. So, you know, it's just it's funny to hear that, Houston may not want to deal with the agent. So it's just, again, it's that season where there's a bunch of stories like come up every day, just right. different stories, whether it's a big story and catch hold in the media or if it's a small story that kind of lingers around and, you know, just taps everybody just a small bit.
A little bit of tea.
Yeah, just, and not a lot.
Just a little bit. Just a little cup of tea. And a reminder to everyone, this time of year, there is all sorts of stories that get dropped into the ears of agents because mm-hmm. that team knows that they wants that story to be broadcasted. Mm-hmm. The agents want everyone to know, the organizations, the GMs. Sometimes people say things and they don't mean it. There's a whole lot of lying that goes on in the NFL draft season.
It is. And I don't think there's, when you're looking at that number three pick or possibly what, that number five pick.
With Seattle.
Seattle. I don't think I think they're making it seem like there's all these teams that are willing to, you know, inquire and willing to move up. I don't know if it's a lot of teams. I really don't. I think. So some teams may have, you know, hey, just kind of throwing it out, hey, what would you take to move? What would it take to move at a three or a five? They're not too serious about it, but they want to hear, like, what would it take?
Yeah, that's so
okay. Cool. All right, you take that. All right, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
If there's a trade partner, but let's say, you know, all four quarterbacks go with the top four picks. Mm-hmm. That's what Mel Kiper has in his most recent mock draft. Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Anthony Richardson, then Will Levis in the top four. Mm-hmm. Seattle sitting at five. If there's a team out there that's like, we need Will Anderson, then mm-hmm. maybe Seattle may have a trade partner with
exactly.
five. But I don't view a quarterback needy team trading up to draft at number five. But with Houston and the number two overall pick and C.J. Stroud, one, I don't think the number two overall pick is for sale. Mm-hmm. Houston wants a quarterback. Houston does not have its quarterback of the future. Houston wants to draft a quarterback. Let's say it is for sale. The Texans aren't doing business with the Titans. Mm-mm. What would the Texans get out of trading with
exactly.
the Titans?
Yeah, nothing.
When there are probably several other teams around the league that would be willing to trade for that number two overall pick to take either a Bryce Young or a C.J. Stroud, whoever Carolina doesn't pick. Why would they do business with the Titans when they're just going to have to play that quarterback for the foreseeable future?
Yeah, and then just think, you know, you look at the Titans and what they would potentially have to give up at number 11 to move up to number three or five. Just think, because these are other teams that possibly need a quarterback. If it's going to take a first and a second, two firsts and a second and a third for the Titans to move up, and they're at 11, New England needs a quarterback. It's going to take more for New England to move up from that spot. Then you look at other teams that are further down, the Commanders at 16.
Apparently Sam Howell's there, guys.
19, the Buccaneers. So you have teams that are deep in the draft in the first round that moving up 8-9 spots, that's a lot. You know, the Titans moving up, you know, what would it be, 8 spots?
To go from 11 to 3?
Yeah, 8 spots.
8, yeah.
So just think about, you know, Washington and New England, teams like that that may need they got to move up even further to try to, you know, get that spot. Because just say if the Titans got win, then the Titans would offer, you know, I'll give you an extra fifth round or something. And then the Commanders will come back if they really want to. Well, I'll give you this, this, and this. So if you got more than one trading partner, the you know, what they want is going to go up. It's going to continue to go up. So I don't think the Commanders, New England, teams like that are going to be willing to give up what it takes to move within that top five. Now, the Titans may because they're so close.
Right.
But those teams that are in the 20s, it's going to take a lot.
They're not moving.
Yeah, they're not moving.
And it's the same thing I'll say.
Not that high anyway.
Not that high. Yeah. Right. And they could, you know, trade up to 10.
Exactly.
And then trade up from there. I don't know what it might be. But also, that's another point. Whenever I hear people saying, well, the Titans need to trade back. Mm-hmm. Okay, I like the idea. Trade mm-hmm. back. Find, you know, more players if you like three or four at a certain position group. Collect more picks. Great. You need a trading partner.
Exactly.
You can't just trade back. You need to find a trading partner who wants to go up to 11. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Let's get into your phones coming up next. Your thoughts on this. Mel Kiper's most recent mock draft that has the Titans trading up to number three to take Anthony Richardson. Anything is on the table. We'll get to your thoughts coming up next. It is Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace, 1025-1063 The Game. I know you can't read Rand Carthon's mind. Nobody could. This job would be a lot easier if we could do that. But just from your own point of view and your own opinion, how likely do you think it is, and how seriously do you think the Titans are considering drafting a quarterback in the first round, whether that's trading up to get one or trading back and letting one fall to them, or at 11?
Yeah, that's a good question, because when you look at all the homework that's being done, right, Rand Carthon at Florida to watch Anthony Richardson, Mike Vrabel at Ohio State to watch C.J. Stroud, and then, you know, Will Levis coming in. They were there at that pro day as well, and we know he's coming in this week. So there's a lot of homework that has been done. It would tell you that they are taking it seriously, but you really don't know, and that's the thing that's so interesting about this. There really aren't any strong ties to any of these guys as far as, like, that could be drawn or any, like, tea leaves to be read. You don't know. And I don't know where they are as far as with this oncoming rookie class. Obviously, Tannehill is in the mix, and they seem to have him as the guy that's going to be the starter this year. But beyond this year, there's a lot of question marks.
That was TD on our show yesterday. And look, the Titans are doing their homework on quarterbacks. The homework is real. The hype is real. It doesn't mean the Titans are going to take a quarterback. It doesn't mean the Titans are going to trade up to number three. All that it means is that's a possibility. Anything could happen on draft day. But it'd be caller three right now to win a family four-pack to see the Nashville Sounds take on the Norfolk Tides, the Baltimore Orioles affiliate, this Thursday, April 13th. That's caller three. Good luck with that. But unless you have a thought, D-Mace.
Let's go to the phones.
Get naftered over there. Let's go to the phones. Phone lines driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. One texter texts in, says, if we do not draft a quarterback this draft, then we're still fine. We have a quarterback. If we do not draft a starting caliber offensive lineman, then we are not fine. We have our needs first. We have to fill our needs first. I hear you. Mm-hmm. I totally hear you. Because if the Titans do decide to, let's say, trade up to number three and take Anthony Richardson, like Mel Kiper has in his most recent mock draft, my first thought will be, okay, but who's playing left tackle? Mm-hmm. That's great. Okay, but who's catching passes? So I totally understand that sentiment. However, you cannot pass up on a quarterback if that's your guy, if that is truly indeed your guy.
Yeah, I think they're operating from a space of, you know, like you said, Caroline, they are doing the things that they need to do to get to know all of these quarterbacks, the top four quarterbacks. They're doing what they need to do. They're having the meetings. They're having the workouts. They're going to their workouts. They're doing everything they're supposed to do because they're close enough this year that if the opportunity presents itself, whether it be somebody throws a monkey wrench in a draft and a guy falls to us, or if we're in a position where we can move up in the draft via a trade, then we want to make sure that we, evaluate all these quarterbacks and do our due diligence, which, okay, they're going to do. This is the year to do it because you are in grabbing range of a quarterback that you may love. If we are to trust, because the texter's right with the holes that need to be filled. But if we are to trust, we always say we trust Mike Vrabel, we trust Rand Carthon. Look at what he's been able to do with the places that he's been. He's been a part of winning organizations and putting together teams. Most recently, the San Francisco 49ers. Then we believe they made the right decisions in the offseason. One, going to get Andre Dillard to be your left tackle. This is a former first-round pick. This is a guy that he had some injury history early on, but we can't fault him for not making a starting five. Why? Because that offensive line turned out to be the best offensive line in the National Football. I can see if he got sat on the bench and – he was a part of the Titans' offensive line.
Yeah, Dennis Daly
exactly,
beat him out.
Or
like,
somebody at some other, you know, team that is having offensive line problems. If he couldn't beat out those guys, why in the hell are we taking him?
Yeah, if he couldn't beat out the Bengals'
exactly,
offensive line,
why are we taking him?
Yeah.
But that wasn't the case. he was behind guys that were Pro Bowlers, that turned into Pro Bowls, all pros. An offensive line that was the best in the National Football League. So you can't hold that against him. What you do is you believe in what Ran and what Mike saw in him, even as they evaluated him coming out, because they evaluated him coming out of college, mm-hmm. Mike and them did. So if you believe them and you trust them, trust that they went out and got one of the better left tackles in free agency. So they go out and get him. They go out and get a guard. So they're putting together their offensive line. Is it going to happen all in one season? Probably not. But it's a building block, and they're trying to establish an offensive line that was much better than last year. It doesn't have to go from worst to first, but it needs to be better than what last year. Cincinnati didn't go from worst to first, but Joe Burrow didn't get sacked as many times because what? They upgraded the offensive line. So this is the upgrading of the offensive line is going to be a 2-year process. So to me, if you can go get that quarterback, go get him, because that's one thing that you may not be able to find any other year if you got an opportunity to get him. You can't say worry about, well, you know, we need more depth. Well, yeah, you do, but you can do that in later rounds. You can do that with free agency. Free agency doesn't end when the draft begins. Mm-hmm. Free agency ends whenever you want it to end, because you can pick up players and release players from practice squads, all of that. So free agency never stops. You're trying to upgrade your team as much as possible. So if they get a quarterback and move off of, I mean, they're going to eventually build up their offensive line to where it's a respectable, and more than that, it's much better than what it was last year.
And they're going to have to. Uh-huh. And also with the understanding that inherently, you know, well, not always, mm-hmm. this is not a blanket statement, but inherently a fifth-round wide receiver probably is not going to give you as much production as potentially a first-round wide mm-hmm. receiver. That's not the case all the time.
Exactly.
Sometimes you find gems in the sixth round, and sometimes first round picks bust. But mm-hmm. overall, a fifth or sixth or seventh round wide receiver is not going to give you the same as a Jamar Chase, a Justin mm-hmm. Jefferson, or a Jalen Waddle, other first round wide receivers. So if you're okay with that, if you're saying that's fine, we will continue to build up, and we'll go through the free agency this year and next year. We'll go through the draft next year, understanding that's going to be our first priority because we need pass catchers for our quarterback. That all things that you're going to have to think about, and the Titans are going to have to be okay with mm-hmm. if that's a move that they decide to make. But I'm glad that you bring up Andre Dillard in the offensive line, because this I read this in Jim Wyatt's mailbag this morning mm-hmm. on TennesseeTitans.com, and it made me think of two things. So the person who asked the question said, I'm interested in your opinion, basically talking about, okay, you know, wide receiver, offensive line, what should the Titans do in the first round? And Jim Wyatt writes, I do agree that the Titans still have needs on the offensive line, and I don't think that drafting a tackle is out of the question. But the team has a lot of needs, and if Andre Dillard pans out, then the team should be in good shape for years to come at the tackle position with Nicholas Petit-Frere on the opposite side. I'd be tempted to go elsewhere with the first pick. First thing I thought of was, okay, so the Titans aren't taking an offensive lineman in the first round. If Jim Wyatt on the team website is saying that, mm-hmm. then, okay, they're not taking a lineman in the first round was my first impression. The second thing I thought about was, well, what if Andre Dillard doesn't pan out? What if Nicholas Petit-Frere doesn't take steps to become a legitimate starting right tackle in the league? Because he was fine last year, mm-hmm. but I don't think that he's an all-pro. Mm-hmm. So what if they don't? Like, what if Andre Dillard and Nicholas Petit-Frere aren't very good? Then what are you going to do? Well, that's a whole lot of keeping your fingers crossed and a whole lot of hoping and praying that your offensive line pans out when you don't know for certain.
You have to. But, like they said, if he do works out, now you have your offensive lineman for the next 10 years, barring injury. If he stays healthy, you got your offensive tackle, left tackle for the next 10 years. And, you know, you hope that Nicholas gets better. I think he will. But now you have your two bookend tackles, mm-hmm. For the next, for the foreseeable future, let's just say that. So you don't have to address the offensive line. I would be surprised if they did address the offensive line in the first round. I would be.
You'd be surprised if they did address it?
Yeah, I would be surprised if they did, because I think they purposely went out and they zeroed in on Andre Dillard. And they liked him coming out of college. and they like what he can potentially give them. So I don't think they went out and paid the money to go get him just to go draft another left tackle. I would be surprised if they drafted a left tackle. Now, they can draft a guard or something like that. I wouldn't be surprised with that, but I would be surprised if they went out and drafted another left tackle.
Interesting. I would be surprised now that I read that from Jim Wyatt.
Yeah.
If he's putting that on the team website, then it's coming from somewhere. He's not just making that up. One texter texts in and says, at the end of the day, are any of these quarterbacks Patrick Mahomes level players? Because there have been way too many quarterbacks taken early that have not panned out and more quarterbacks taken late that have worked out. I think any college quarterback playing at that level is good, but it's what you put around them and how you develop them that makes the difference. To answer the first question, are any of these quarterbacks Patrick Mahomes level players? I don't know.
No, you didn't know Patrick Mahomes was going to be Patrick
exactly.
Mahomes.
Exactly.
I've known people who say, well, is he, you know, Tom Brady level quarterback? Well, we don't know. We hope he is. And he turned out to be.
Mm-hmm.
The same with Joe Burrow. Is he Patrick Mahomes type quarterback? We don't know, but he sure looks like it.
The Bengals hope.
Well, you drafted him, and he's become that. So, yes, you're looking for that level of quarterback, but you don't know if it's going to be or not.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that can't scare you away from drafting that particular guy, because you can go down a list. Is he a Aaron Donald level defensive tackle? Is he a, I don't know, tackle? Name a tackle out there. I don't know. One of the best tackles. Just name anyone, one of them. Is he that level type of player?
Uh-huh.
Well, I don't know yet. He has the potential. It looks like he can be. So I'm going to draft him. Just because he may not turn out to be that guy doesn't scare me away from drafting him. Because, again, if that's the case, a lot of people wouldn't get drafted.
Mm-hmm.
That deserve to be drafted.
Right. And if you decide to make that pick and that move, the Titans decide to do that, then the answer is yes.
Exactly.
They think he's their
Patrick Mahomes. And he may not do all the things that Patrick does, but he's going to win him a championship. That's how they feel.
And if they're wrong, you lose.
Exactly.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Jared went absolutely unhinged yesterday, and I have to get D-Mace's reaction to it. And we will do that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. So for people who do not know, of course, you know, D-Mace, legendary Titan, legendary wide receiver in the NFL. But what people might not know about you, D-Mace, is that you love basketball.
Oh, I love the NBA. Love basketball. Love it. I wish we had a team here in Nashville. I know we have a team in Tennessee, but Memphis just seems so far away. But I wish we had a team here in the city. Man, oh, man.
You love it. Your son loves it.
Absolutely.
So I heard Jared absolutely flip his lid yesterday about the NBA. And when I listened to it, the first thing I thought was, Derek Mason has to hear this because I need to get D-Mace's reaction. This was Jared going unhinged about the NBA yesterday.
What is the matter with this league? And this league, the NBA, is a freaking joke. I hate the NBA. And I love basketball. I grew up watching the NBA. I played the video games. I mean, I remember in middle school, I bought a pair of Allen Iverson shoes to wear when I played basketball. I loved basketball. I still love basketball. You know that. I love college basketball. I love women's basketball. I love that tournament we had. I love both the tournaments we had. And the tournament's got great ratings. But the NBA is a freaking joke. Everything about that league. And I said this to a bunch of people, including a league executive that I know. And I said, you know what's crazy? The reason why nobody cares about the NBA anymore, and don't listen to ESPN, because all ESPN does is pump NBA, 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 NBA. And then I look at the TV ratings, and the NBA TV ratings are terrible. The NBA, we're supposed to believe that baseball has no fans anymore, and that the only people that watch that sport are 95 years old and take their teeth out and put them in the glass before they go to bed. But guess what? Baseball's World Series, which is on during football and is competing with not only the most popular sport in America, the NFL, but also the second most popular sport, which is college football. Baseball's World Series ratings are on par with basketball's NBA Finals ratings when the NBA Finals is the only thing going on. I mean, it's a joke. So it's not popular. And the reason it's not popular is because the players and the coaches and the owners, they don't care. They don't show up for games anymore. It's like, oh, no, you know, I played yesterday, so I can't play today.
So this was fueled by Rudy Gobert punching his teammate Kyle Anderson in the face. And another player, you know, walks off the court, punches the wall, and is out for the hand injury. And it's just, it has been a storm within the NBA. D-Mace, your reaction to Jared's rant about the NBA?
When isn't Jared ranting about something, whether it's the NBA or not? And I'm only looking at something from December 29th, 2022. And now the ratings could change, and depending on, you know, what part of the season we're in, more people are watching, more people are not. But as we speak, the percentage of the number of Americans that follow the sport in question, American football, 74.5% of people follow the sport. And I'm only going by December 29th, 2022. So 5 months ago, 6 months
That's
ago.
Fair. Somewhere
right now. Baseball, 50.5%. And that's good, you know, considering, you know, and it probably ticks up as you get closer to the World Series and playoffs. Boxing, 23.4% of Americans. Hockey, 22.1%, which I think hockey needs, they need to do something to be higher. Because there's no way boxing should supersede them, especially boxing of today.
I would agree.
Because everybody ducks everybody. Mm-hmm. But you know who sits at, and then we talk about soccer, golf, and we're only talking in the U.S. We're not talking globally because soccer would be much higher. I think soccer may be number one.
Probably globally, yeah.
Exactly. Globally, the hockey's number one. Even the WWE at 16.7%. But you know who's number two?
The NBA.
The NBA. With all of its drama, the NBA is number two, which tells me somebody enjoys it in America. Listen, we love soap opera. What do we say about the NBA? Greatest soap opera going on.
It is a total soap opera.
Exactly. Whether it's owners, players, referees, as Jared gets on here just about every week during the season, and he moans about referees and how bad they are, but we still watch it. Why? Because it's drama. We love it. We love the quarterbacks. We love the superstar players. The NBA is the same thing. The NBA was the first league to realize that, you know what? Those personalities are worth more than those teams. If I can get you to buy into a personality and love a personality, then you're going to love the sport. LeBron James is probably, arguably, the most recognized player, athlete in the world. He's probably one of them. I would say he's probably in the top two or three in the world. He's the most recognized player in the world, Craig. Not just in the U.S., in the world, Craig. Okay? And what does he play? Basketball. And who loves him? All those little kids that's running around. Hell, grown kids that run around. Love LeBron. They love KD. They love, you know, players. We may not like how players maneuver in the NBA, but it's drama. And we want to watch drama. Because at the end of the day, when you sit down and you watch an NBA game, you know you're going to get drama. When you sit down and watch a football game, you know there's going to be some drama, whether it's with the referees or something else. You're not getting that much drama in baseball.
Baseball could use drama.
Yeah, they could use. And hockey could use some drama.
Could use some drama.
Exactly.
What did we just talk about last week with the women's tournament?
It's drama.
Drama.
Caitlin drama, and Angela. Drama. That's what they were watching, not because LSU and Iowa were the two best teams. It's because they had the personalities. They love the drama.
I could do less load management.
Yeah, that's a different story. But you're right about that. Load management. Jared, yeah, you're right.
It's pretty bad. Yeah. But give me the drama. Sports love drama.
I love it.
Sports are the ultimate soap opera. That is going to do it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. Stillman & Company's up next.
Be love and love on somebody. Peace.